Hello, sports fans. It's August 3rd, 2024. Welcome to Cleats by Dre. I'm Dre. Let's talk some sports. So today we're going to talk football and the New York football Giants, Big Blue. The Giants were featured recently in the Hard Knocks series on their offseason. Now, Hard Knocks has been well known since 2001 for providing up-close access to NFL training camps. Position battles, coaching speeches, the storylines, the preseason. This year is the first year they produced a series on the offseason, featuring free agency, trades, and the draft. Now, I am a front office strategy junkie, so I did like any other streaming rationer did. I watched every clip that came across my For You timeline on X for the first few weeks, probably saw about half of it. Then once all the episodes are out, I signed up for Max, banged through all five this week. So here we go. In this episode, I'll give my review, my recap of the show. Now note, this is not a Giants season preview. Just a recap of the show, what it made me think about. All right, before we get to that Hard Knocks review, let's do a quick touch on something that's happened since my last pod on Tuesday. And Tuesday night, came out Wednesday morning, right? My pod on the national media rights picture, the NBA's huge deal, what it means for us as fans. Well, that next day, you had Disney, Fox, and TNT, Warner Brothers, announce something called Venu Sports, V-E-N-U. Yeah, we knew this was coming. The price was interesting, though. So basically, for $42.99 a month, you can get those channels, the sports channels related to those entities. I mean, it's just more options. They want you to spend your money, I guess, however you want, which is good. I mean, we have YouTube TV. We pay, I think, in the 70s a month. Now that's standard cable package, right? It has other things like Bravo, CNN, other Food Network, other things. I've always thought about scaling down because I really only watch ESPN of those channels. I know my wife watches some shows, but like still, I think Jimmy Traina from SI Now on X, I think said it best, where even so, count Disney, Fox, TNT, you still need CBS to watch the NFL and NCAA tournament. You still need NBC to watch the NFL and college football. You still need Amazon to watch the NFL and NBA. You still need Netflix to watch the NFL. Like, so his point is, my vision, right, at the end of the pod was like, give us the integrated user experience. Give us the God sports package. We'll worry what the price will be. But if you're going to drive up the prices, just make it as easy as possible for us. And so I don't think that Disney, Fox, TNT announcement's a game changer. It's just another option, another way to cut a pie. Maybe more options are good, but we'll see. All right, on to Hard Knocks now. Hard Knocks, yes. So let's do this. I took notes as I was watching. There were five episodes. Each were about 30 to 40 minutes. Five things. I'll do a five things the Hard Knocks on the Giants made me think or realize. Number five. It reminded me this team has a legacy. The last few years have been really lean for the Giants. I mean, really, you go back to the 2012 Super Bowl, but they had that good year where they made the playoffs in 2015, got blown out by the Packers, Eli's last years. They've been irrelevant since then, not even in the national media conversation. When they are, it's a laughingstock. So, I wasn't quite ready for this. I played softball Wednesday night, got on base five times. I still have a hitch in my swing. For all those that care, I got him base somehow. I mean, the pitcher was making, I'd say he's making fun of me. He's like, he thought I had a wooden bat the way I was hitting the ball, but I got him base five times. So take that, bud. I signed up for Max, and by the way, it's Max. It's not HBO anymore. I don't know what happened there. HBO is the brand they should have kept, but I signed up for Max for a month. I was sore. I poured myself, a nice scotch whiskey on ice. I wanted to reminisce, and I give the show credit. They started right away, right? Replaying the Giant championships, the heroes from the past. I got chills. I got goosebumps from episode one. So there's that. And there's always something right about hearing your team talked about on the national stage, whether you're growing up watching SportsCenter highlights, anytime your team is talked about nationally, you get into it a bit more. And what's interesting too is this is the first time the Giants have been on any of the Hard Knocks. They're one of the last few teams to have avoided that. You know, Hard Knocks has been on since 2001. And I was wondering, were they forced to do this? Because the offseason one, and I'll get into it, it's you really see more in the strategy. It's interesting. So Giants president and owner John Mara, he came out and said he actually volunteered to do this, the first offseason one, because he wanted to avoid training camp. I get it. I guess the training camp, I guess it counts more. Your team's closer to getting ready to go, a lot more access. But geez, this is letting your strategy, letting your cards out there, letting everyone see that. That's interesting approach. But overall, it's just good to remind that the Giants had a history. And, you know, of all the teams I follow, it's one of the better ones. So that's my first takeaway. Takeaway number four, that Mara and Joe Shane interplay is tense. So Joe Shane is the... I think senior vice president, general manager of the Giants. Mara brought him in 2.5 years ago at this point. He was assistant with the Bills. You know, long scouting background, right? He's been worked his way up the ranks. Been in the NFL, I think, over 20 years. You know, was an outsider, right? And Mara had gotten flack previously for kind of keeping things on the inside. And it worked for the Giants for years. But you know the previous GM Dave Gettleman, that was an unmitigated disaster in terms of you know how out of the times he was and how out of touch he was and how stubborn he was. So I'd say the interplay was tense. I don't know if it was bad because I don't have a great reference point. But you know, it came to the forefront, and we'll get into this the whole you know drama around the running back Saquon Barkley. Some of the quotes from Mara, right? You know, all things equal, just telling Shane he'd like to keep him. You know, and Shane looks pissed. Shane looks, you know, is this guy got a medal? You know, how do I make my case? You know, quite a history in terms of the contract negotiations with Saquon. I won't go into too much here. So what happened the previous offseason? And then, you know, you get the scene when Saquon signs with the Eagles. And they just look at each other, and John Mara did not want him to go in the division. No one wanted him to go in the division. Shane says, I think, you know, it says, "We'll look at me, we'll be okay." And Mara comes back, "I think we will be too." And just gives this kind of walk, this kind of mopey walk that they show out of the office. And even there's some suggestion or nerves from Mara during the draft prep. As him and Shane are talking through strategies, you know, Shane is focused on Malik Nabers, who they eventually get at the sixth pick. You know, Mara is suggesting, the Chargers might take Nabers at the fifth pick. Look, I mean, this is the first time I've really seen an owner and a GM ever interact. That's the point of the show. I don't know what it's like. But knowing the history, I mean, Mara had this reputation towards the end, especially of meddling a little bit. And really having his, you know, a lot of his family entrenched there, which I think is probably common throughout football. You know, and especially with how rough last year was, you know, and talks of, you know, Dable being on the hot seat, potentially the head coach. You saw tension, and maybe it's common, but who knows? To Mara's credit, you know, he let his decision makers make the decisions, though, right? Shane was calling the shots. They let Saquon go. But it's just really interesting to see, and I'm sure we'll think about that during the season. All right, number three. I was impressed by Joe Shane overall because I thought about it. Like, no Hard Knocks, no series has ever focused on like one person as much as this focused on him. I mean, they did free agency trades, you know, the draft combine, the draft. It was all him, right? In training camp, it's like you got the head coach, you got the stars, you got the guys trying to make the team, you got the other coaches, you got preseason games. This is all about Shane. This was 30 or 40% filmed in his office. I think it's an unbelievable thing for him to have signed up to do. He came out very well in it. Of course, there's tense moments, but this is high tense, high stakes poker. It just gave me confidence he's the right guy. Definitely better than the previous guy. I was worried, I'll say, at the opening episode, within 5 minutes, I see on the whiteboard in his room, six plus four equals 10 and 7 plus 8 equals 15. Just math. Okay. Okay. So maybe Shane's not a quant. I know he comes from a scouting background, but he understands value at least. But you know, that scared me a little bit. But you know, I'm still fascinated. Like, we've never seen a perspective like this on a front office guy like this. I mean, Moneyball, right, in around 2002, the Oakland A's and Billy Bean and the rise of sabermetrics, that popularized the strategy piece in baseball. And then, you know, of course, the movie helped with that. You had the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner, which was kind of fluffy, but it was something. I mean, look, these general managers are now pop icons, right? You got a whole generation of kids that have now grown into adults that follow the strategy of these sports. And you know, let's see more of this kind of access. But overall, Shane, like, he seems to get it. He's an organizational leader, trusts his people, cares about his people, takes inputs from them. I mean, I get it, the Giants had final cut on this show, but I feel good about what we have there in Shane. And I hope he gets a chance to build what he's trying to build. All right, two more, and let's focus on the players now. So takeaway number two, I thought the Giants handled the Saquon situation properly. And I hope this isn't a controversial opinion anymore. I'll give one stat here, right? So who was the last Super Bowl winning team with an all-pro running back? All-pro, you know, top running back, you know, in the league. It's not this millennium, folks. It's Marshall Faulk with the Rams in 99, the greatest show on turf. And sure, yeah, McCaffrey and the Niners were close last year, but that's close. Who won? Mahomes, Chris Jones on defense. So, you know, this whole storyline of you know, do you need to pay even if he's your best player, right? And look, I love Saquon, talented, respectful, always said the right thing, tough kid on some really bad Giants teams, some tough injuries. You know, who cares if he's the most popular player, John Mara? The Giants are about winning. Who cares about jersey sales? I don't know if I've bought a Giants jersey, but I'm a huge fan. We care about winning. And, you know, Saquon, for better or worse, he'll always remind me of Dave Gettleman and the fact that he got picked in that draft at number two and Gettleman ignored the relative value of picking a running back. You know, Gettleman would have resigned Saquon. But look, I believe, I think like Shane does too, you build from the inside out, you know, in order to have the right for luxury skill players. Him signing the offensive lineman instead of the running back, absolutely the right move. The trade for Brian Burns, right? That's go get the quarterback. You protect the quarterback and you get after the quarterback. You know, sound familiar? Sounds like some Super Bowl winning Giants teams. And then Devin Singletary is a fine running back that they signed, you know, for 40% of the price of Saquon. I thought he always looked good in Buffalo. Their best running back in Houston last year. He has a yards per carry average of 4.6. That's tied for 8th among active backs. That's in Derrick Henry territory, Tony Pollard, McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook. And then, you know, you take a running back late in the draft. Like this guy they found, Tyron Tracy Jr. Who knows if he turns into anything? Early reports out of training camp should be pretty good. I love them dropping the explosive play per touch figure. But this happens at running back. You kind of find like these guys. You find them. You can do that at running back. A couple other quick notes here on Saquon. I would love to hear his side more in the story. And, you know, I know the Giants had final cut. You know, we had to wait to the Diana Rossini interview afterwards to hear more from him. But that'd be important to hear. And also a point of interest, a little bit of unclear from Shane, right? To talk about building inside out, there are no trench players in their 6 draft picks. No offensive lineman or defensive lineman. That's the Giants' first draft since 2016 without a trench player. So, you know, it's like trying to land an airplane on a carrier maybe with getting a team constructed, but I thought that was interesting. All right, last point, my most important one, is, you know, Malik Nabers. Exciting player. You know, the wide receiver, electric wide receiver from LSU. you know, he's step one, I think, on the path to getting that Dable Bills offense we were kind of promised when he came over here. Let's say we're 50% of the way there. I don't know. But I love what I hear about Nabers. You know, I love the Saban quote talking about how he, you know, of all the players that they played in Alabama, he told Dable that he's the one guy that gave him the most fits. I love how excited Dable is to have Nabers. You know, we haven't had an alpha wide receiver since Odell. And wide receiver play always critical in our Super Bowl wins. Be it Plex, Toomer, and Steve Smith. Or more recently, you know, the Cruz, Knicks, Manningham crew. Now, does Nabers want to be here? He never looked amped, you know, in the interviews or even when Shane called him at the draft. Kind of mute, kind of reserved. I'm not going to overthink that. I'll chalk that to a young kid, you know, coming into his own. And, you know, I'm not going to speculate anything there. But really, one of my favorite quotes from the show was from Shane about how he's a young, cost-controlled five-year wide receiver. Look, and this is inside football stuff, I guess, but like, you know, wide receivers now are making $30 million a year, the best ones. And so if Nabers is making $8 million this, you know, throughout his contract per year, that's a big difference. You know, talk about quarterbacks in that realm, but that now applies to wide receivers. So hopefully we got a good one there. So that's the show, but, you know, with questions left to answer, right? And there's one main one for me, and it's the other 50%. Right, it's Daniel Jones. It's the quarterback. All this stuff doesn't matter if you don't have the right quarterback. And you look, but Daniel seems like a great kid. My fellow Dukie, my alumnus. I don't think he's the guy. Let's save that for another pod. But you know, from Hard Knocks, you certainly get the sense that Shane, Dable, Brandon Brooks, the assistant GM, they don't think so either. In many ways, this year is about setting up for next year, 2 years down the line. Look, the Giants still have a bottom 10 roster in this league. You know, I think ideally you'd like to build, you go on the offense, you go O-line, then quarterback, then skill positions. Like think how Burrow and the Bengals, think how Burrow was in place before they got Ja'Marr Chase. We just might be in a little bit of a reverse here. And I worry about, you know, how Nabers can get the ball this year, but he's here, he's in place. But maybe we'll talk about DJ a little bit more going forward. But look, and final, I enjoyed the Hard Knocks offseason. I'd give it a solid A. The episodes are quick watches. If you're a Giants fan or if you're just a football fan, you know, you get a deep taste, deep access into the front office workings and personalities we've never really seen before. I say check it out. All right, folks, that's it. Thanks for listening. Please share, rate, review. I'll talk to you next time.